I say this behind closed doors. I say it on Brenneman Shows Up. I'll say it on friggin' ESPN. I don't care. They would never have me on ESPN. But, like, I think Tua's great.
The number one, you know, tight end in the country.
Adam Brenneman, tight end, Cedar Cliff.
And then popped up.
Touchdown! Adam Brenneman, a 14-yard strike.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Brenneman Shows Up. I'm Adam Brenneman. We're in Scottsdale, Arizona. Going to talk to Mike Kosicki, the Dolphins star tight end, and Nick Scott, the star safety for the LA Rams. Just won a Super Bowl. Mike and Nick are here for a vacation with a bunch of my former teammates from Penn State. So going to sit down and talk to those guys about all things life on and off the field. Make sure you follow me on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Press the like button. Going to be posting a lot of cool content. Let's go talk to Nick and Mike.
Honestly, we should change the show from Brenneman Shows Up to Kosicki Shows Up, because I came all the way out to Scottsdale to do this.
You guys like Scottsdale?
It's beautiful.
First time?
It's beautiful.
I know you were here for the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Fiesta Bowl, we were here, and that's why we came back, really. Had the time of our lives in Old Town, but we had to come back.
Where'd you go for the Fiesta Bowl? Bottle Bond?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't go out.
Bottle Bond, International.
International?
Yeah, it's a club over there. Wherever Saeed and Saeed and Deshaun took off.
No, Scottsdale's the place, man. I've been here for like 2 years now. This is definitely the place to be.
Yeah, I like it. It just gets hot as shit.
No, it's so hot. Yeah, how was when you golfed yesterday? Was it?
It wasn't that bad. It kind of felt like Cali. You know, it was like 90s, but the thing about Cali is you always have a nice little breeze. So.
Yeah, like it was 90, but like I didn't sweat a drop.
Yeah, it's dry heat.
As opposed to like Miami, it'll be like 85 and you feel like you're going to have a heat stroke.
Yeah.
Miami, as soon as you walk out the door, you're drenched.
Yep.
I don't know how you do that every
Imagine
day.
Practicing in it for... Bro, when I practice, legitimately, I lose anywhere between like 15 to 18
And
minutes.
That's all you
In one practice.
Do y'all ever, y'all have an indoor facility?
Yeah, but we don't use it unless like...
Man, y'all should use that just for the AC.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, but... We don't, because they do the...
What do you weigh in during the season? Like, do you get down to the 230s?
I start the season at 250, and then by the end of the season, I'm down to 235.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, so you're a wide receiver, essentially.
By the end of the season, you're not going to catch me in a three-point stance.
I mean, I don't think we ever see you in a three-point stance. I want to see the stats on the tendencies of, like, when you're in the game. Like,
yeah, it's definitely.
It has so to be 89 three-point stands. It's BS.
It's definitely been a while.
Yeah. Like, do you guys ever run the ball when you're in?
Yeah, but, like, I mean, now we have a whole new, like, scheme and everything. But, like, in the past, we would run the ball out of our 12 personnel with me and Durham. But then I would just... take the receiver role and I would go block the safety. Or
man, they might ask you to block this year with that scheme.
Yeah, everything's
they
different.
Try.
Yeah.
49ers, all they do is run.
Who calls it? Is it McDaniel?
I mean, we have an OC head coach. I mean, there's a whole, everybody's kind of.
Part of it?
Yeah.
How was the franchise tag process? What's that? Like, what happens when that? I'm generally curious, like, what actually happens? Like, you're on the contract year. Like, how does that process go to getting tagged?
I mean, honestly, it's kind of just like a waiting game. Like, you know when the tag deadline is and you know that it's a possibility, but you don't know what's going to happen. And I was on my honeymoon in Bora Bora, and the tag deadline was the next day and was still up in the air. Didn't know if I was going to be able to hit free agency, if they were going to tag me. And then I got like a text at like 3:30 a.m. like Bora Bora time, because it was 6 hours behind, so it was really like 9:30 a.m. Eastern time or whatever, from my agent, and he was like, hey, like, they're tagging you. And like, I like rolled over in the middle of the night and like looked at my phone, tapped Hallie. I was like, hey, like, we're staying in Miami for another year.
Dude, that picture you posted in Bora Bora, signing that was the biggest flex I've ever
Listen,
I mean, seen one. Did you see that?
I did see that.
It was honestly just the situation I was in. Like, they tagged me while I was on my honeymoon. I'm sitting on my back deck. I'm like, all right, well, man,
dude, he lives a lot.
I got to sign this paper. So
what did I say to you when I reached out to you after that?
Probably straps.
No, but we can get to that later.
Yeah,
we can get to that later. Said, congratulations on being financially free. You called me a sick man.
You are. I mean, after,
like, I'm trying to, that's my boy. Congrats, man. Like, you did it. You're sick.
Yeah, you are.
Mike doesn't know what financially free means.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I was just looking at the thing and saw the number. I was like, all right.
That is like a different like level of like it's one thing to like make a couple million a year. When you're making like 10 mil in 1 year.
It's crazy.
That's like a whole other level of money.
We'll call it 11.
11. But should it be 16 or 18?
If you're referring to the wide receiver franchise tag, that would have been 18.5. But here we are.
You're not a receiver?
That's why they got your hand in the dirt trying to save a couple.
They don't want to pay
them like that.
That was all. It doesn't matter what I do this year. Honestly, it was all based upon what position I lined up the most in the year before your contract. So like.
Oh, really?
Like, technically speaking, by like the lay of the law, like it was receiver, but like.
Should we fight it?
I'm not a big controversy guy. Yeah. You know? I just kind of go with
You're trying lightly right now with what you're saying.
Smart guy.
Yeah, he's smart.
PR guy.
I feel like every time a tight end gets tagged, that's always a discussion. Like Jimmy Graham, it happened. Like,
yeah,
they're always like trying to fight for the wide receiver
tag. Well, Jimmy, when he got tagged, I don't know why I'm saying it. Like, I know him on first name basis. When Jimmy Graham got tagged, he fought it and they essentially settled because then they gave him an extension like that during that process. So like technically, did he lose the grievance? Yes, but then they settled and gave him like the number he wanted regardless. So it was like, he won.
Made sense.
Yeah.
But, makes sense.
What's new in Nick Scott's life, man? You had quite the come up this past year.
Man.
Super Bowl champion. Congrats, bro.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Super Bowl is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be chasing that feeling for the rest of my life, man.
Yeah, like take us through that playoff run. Like what's that?
Well,
like?
First, the craziest thing about it is like how my season went. My season personally, like I went into camp as the fifth safety on the depth chart. Basically, like just worked my butt off.
Were you sure you were going to make the team?
Huh?
You sure you were going to make the team?
Oh, yeah, because I play special teams. I'm good. I'm always locked in with my special teams coordinator.
Why do you just disrespect you like that?
But, no.
If you're the fifth safety, sometimes not all teams care about
that. Because of what I did in special teams at Penn State, like, I never worried about whether or not I was going to be on a roster because I was a high commodity from a, like, late-round free agent standpoint where it's like, we need this guy on our 46 for teams. So I've been cool. But yeah, fifth safety on a depth chart, coming to the season, the third safety, and then boom, you fast forward to the last game of the season, both of our safeties get knocked out. So we jump into that San Fran game is the one they had to come back. It's me and Terrell Burgess. We basically, you know, we like smoked it. We had a lead up by 17, they came back. So it was looking kind of ugly. Coaches were like, man, like, I don't know what the heck we're going to do. We got Nick Scott back there. We got Terrell back there. We got Eric Weddle, obviously. And then we just took off. I just tried to, you know, do my part, make splash plays when I could.
You made some big plays.
And I tried, man. And then, you know, obviously got a ring. But it was crazy, man. Everything that happened, there's a lot of turmoil and turnover. Guys were dropping like flies. Eric Weddle comes in. Like, I think Eric Weddle got the best story out of anybody on that team besides
Cooper
Kupp.
When did he sign in?
For the first playoff game for the Cardinals. So he signed right after.
Yeah, he wasn't even playing, right?
No, he wasn't. He was coaching his kids' football team. And they said, they called him, and they're like, you've been running? He's like, I mean, yeah. And they said, all right, cool. Like, you're probably going to tear your hamstring or your Achilles or your pec or something, but We could use you. And he's like, all right, babe. Yeah, like, no problem, man. Like, let's win. So he gets in there. He's balling. Obviously, we get to the Super Bowl. The first quarter, this dude tears his pec, thugs it out for the rest of the game.
That's crazy.
He takes his pads off in the locker room. His whole chest and shoulders, like, black and blue. He comes from a different era of football.
Yeah.
That's like a different level. Like, that's tough football. It's different, so. But it was great playing with him, learning from him.
What's like the night like after the Super Bowl? Like, what happens after? When's the parade? Like a couple days later?
Parade is two days after.
That's probably the biggest high you can ever get.
What I'm saying. I'm going to be chasing that feeling for the rest of my career. Like, there's literally nothing like it. Like, the game was cool, but it went by like that. What the Super Bowl actually is, if you win, is all the stuff that comes after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you really remember. Like, I don't really remember many specifics from the game, but I remember as soon as that thing struck zero, I remember what that confetti looked like. I remember seeing my parents come down on the field. Holly got on the field. Like, those are the moments.
How's that work? Like, do you get, like, X amount of people you can bring on the field or what?
Yeah, we had, like, it was supposed to be, like, 2 tickets each, I think, because of COVID and everything like that.
But you got your parents in, Holly?
Yeah, because players who weren't using their 2.
Gotcha.
You throw your 2, they give you 2, but of course you had to buy them.
Yeah.
For both of you, what do you think is like the biggest difference between like college and NFL from like a just like a lifestyle perspective, like of playing football? Like, me and Trace were talking about it.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how like in the NFL, it's like kind of like a little lonelier than college.
Oh, yeah. Every man for himself, kind of. I feel like that's how everybody feels. Everybody's a grown man and like got their own kids and whatnot. So guys go to work and go home. You know, we would like chill in the locker room. Well, Mike wouldn't, but we were chilling in the locker room for like hours just after practice, like just tired, but just shooting it with your bros. And because you had nothing to do, back to the dorms. Like,
I mean, for me, like, I would say, like, the biggest difference, like, on the field, I would say, in like college, say you got 11 guys on one side of the ball, like, I'd say like 3 or 4 of them are like
NFL, talent.
Like elite, like good players, like, gonna make plays and like our dudes. You get to the NFL and like, if not all 11, like 10 of the 11, like, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe there's 2 guys out on there that are like, all right, like feel like you can take advantage of that guy or this guy. But like for the most part, like everybody's there for a reason, obviously. So like that's like the biggest thing on the field. And then off the field, I mean, like he said, like everybody says, like it's your job. Like it's literally, it's all you do. So you don't have any other requirements or things to worry about other than football and then your family. So like I get there at probably like 6:30. Then I get home.
In the morning?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I get there at probably like 6:30 and get home at probably 6:30.
You like, do a lot of extra like early morning offensive meetings and whatnot.
So like I'll go in.
Tua, you and Tua.
Well, I'll go in, breakfast, we'll do like some like pass game stuff and you know, just kinda like ins and outs of all that and then obviously, then you guys start with a team meeting every day?
Not every day, but
yeah,
like beginning of the week.
Yeah, I've actually that just now. Like we don't always start off with a team meeting, but my first 4 years, I've had 2 head coaches. I had Gase and Flo, and we both did team meetings every day, and then you go into special teams, whatever.
Just like Coach Ryan?
I finally just got out of special teams meetings. Now I don't have to sit in on special.
What are you doing in special teams?
Exactly. I've never taken a rep of special teams, dating all the way back to college, but like. I'm like 3rd on the depth chart in punt, like
for the wing.
We were actually playing. I was the 3rd or 4th string, literally like left guard. We're playing in New York against the Jets last year, and like Durham like goes down, but not like for the full game, but just like suddenly, and then the backup goes down, and like before I know it,
and
like,
you started sweating.
Before I know it, like I'm literally the next guy up, and like my joke has always been like I don't know why I'm in these special teams meetings because like. We would play with 10 guys before we put.
Would you
out
have
there.
Any idea what to do if you went out there,
bro?
What about practice? You take reps in practice?
No, because I was like the 3rd or 4th. So like it's always the first and second
group. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm just like sitting there like I'm never gonna go in, and like before I know it, like it's like 3rd down, and I'm like I better make a play here, or else my ass is sitting on punt.
Yeah, that was gonna be a block.
Thankfully, I didn't have to take a rep at punt, but that was literally the extent of my special teams career. That and hands team.
Anything that requires getting physical, we don't like.
Nope. Stay away.
How did you see the Twitter thing with Tua and that all the people talking about the throw he made on Twitter a couple days ago?
The underthrow.
I mean,
dude, the fans and media are so crazy. It was like a slight.
I didn't even notice. Like when I seen it, I didn't even notice, and then I was looking at the comments, or I saw the thing trending, I think. I showed it yesterday. I was like, what are people, like,
bro,
why can't they just let it go? Like,
in all honesty, like, if you're running the Dolphins social media, like, post a better
first.
It was the first one, the first throw they posted of Tua.
Bro, fans are ruthless, bro.
Yeah, people are just so bored, and they're just like you.
It's like he underthrew him.
You could say anything about anything, and people are going to just hype it up.
Media started getting retweets. Yeah. I was out there tweeting.
I'm sure you were. I'm very, very hesitant to hang out with you these days.
Dude.
I'm kidding, bro. Relax. No, but I love playing with Tua, and, like, I'm not – I say this behind closed doors. I say it on Brenneman Shows Up. I'll say it on
friggin' ESPN. I don't care. They would never have me on ESPN. But, like, I think Tua's great. I think he has a really strong arm, and I think he's extremely accurate. And that's, like, that's definitely the biggest thing playing with him for me is, like, I'm not catching the ball anywhere further than 30 yards down the field. So, like, he can put it wherever he wants. And, I mean, I think I've only gotten, like, a better connection with him as our 2 years have progressed. So, I'm fired up to...
I'm excited to see your guys' offense. That'll be really tough.
The only thing I was worried about was when we first drafted him was, I was like, damn, like, I've never caught from a lefty before. I think I caught, like, two balls from, like, Billy Fett.
Is there a difference?
Like, outside of that, like, I've never caught from a lefty before. And so the first day that, like, I caught from him and, like, he throws a super tight spiral. So, like, literally...
It doesn't matter.
You can't even tell which way it's spinning. You just go catch it. So, but I did flip the jugs machine around because you can flip it, like how it spins.
But then we would rotate quarterbacks in college. Yeah, so you had like one drive to right, one drive to lefty.
Everything. What? All American. We've seen it on every single one of your it was like Sporting News fourth team All American, but it was All American.
Dude, it was like consensus. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. It was like the Athletics, like 15 All Americans. I was texting the reporter like, dude, throw me on that All American. Have you met Chase Evans yet?
Yeah, Chase is awesome. Yeah, he's cool. He's a good dude. Like cool personality, good guy to have in the locker room, and really good player on the field too. So fired up to have him.
You just got some talent, man.
Yeah, we do. We got.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Dolphins look like y'all might be able to do something this year.
Yeah, we had a good offseason. But I mean, it's May. Like everybody's optimistic and all that kind of stuff. So you gotta wait until the season starts.
You're gonna get the big deal after next season if you play well.
If I earn it, that's it. I don't have any controversy for you. I don't have any.
I'm not big, looking for controversy.
Big,
I'm just
big takes. I mean, that's what it is in this league. Like if you play well and you make plays and you show that they need you, then you'll get money. So
you need to stop jumping.
Absolutely.
Bro,
yeah.
Bro.
Listen,
you want that big money, you better stop jumping.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is because like now that like we're doing a whole lot.
We literally played you guys and like our scouting report on you, like at the bottom was like, he's a jumper. So like with your tackling approach, like we got, he's a jumper. Like
bro,
he has bad intentions, like all, trying to run you over. You're a jumper.
All.
It's crazy.
Like now that we're,
but it never goes well. For
never,
me.
Ever. Right. I think it's gone well literally one time in my life. But like now that we're doing this like San Fran stuff, like we see a lot of like George Kittle stuff when like him run after the catch. He's probably legitimately like the best in the league, like in any position. Like,
nah.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
Okay. Like that dude's either
Debo.
That dude's gonna run by you or run through you, and like. It's ridiculous.
Maybe the best tight end.
And I think Cooper Kupp is the best person after the catch.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you're a defensive guy, and like, so I mean, I respect your opinion.
I appreciate
but
that.
But we're putting Kittle up there.
Oh, he's definitely up there. Yeah. I my top three would be honestly, I got Cooper Kupp at the top, Debo Samuel right under Cooper Kupp, and it's very close, and I got George Kittle kind of like.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at here is when he runs with the ball, like. Nobody's diving at his legs. When I run with the ball, I feel like everybody's low, like coming at me low.
Because you're
like,
but you run so high.
I literally just like get tabletopped. Like we played on Monday Night Football, and like I caught like a shallow, and like I saw the dude literally just looking at my feet, and I'm like, all right, cool, I'm gonna hop him. Literally just did like a front flip, like landed on my back. I'm like, bro, just let's just end this game. Yeah.
I remember that play.
Run after the catch is it, dude. Like you can work on all you want. I feel like it's just like a feel. It's just a feel thing. Like,
yeah,
like I remember when we were in college. Saquon was like, he's like, I'm gonna work with you on this, and this. Like, bro, like
it's natural.
Me and you can go out on the field, but I can't run like you, and I can't change directions like you. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a feel.
Yeah.
What's Sean McVay like?
Sean McVay, he's a real cool dude, man. He's definitely a player's coach.
Yeah, he seems super chill.
Nah, he's really chill. He's down with all the players. Like, he's just a good coach to have. And, like, the best part about it is, like, he's a player's coach, but he also has the X's and O's part down packed.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is rare. Sometimes you get the X's and O's, but you lose the relationship side. But he's got both. So he's obviously a really special coach. And so I'm lucky to be with the Rams. It's a good organization. So longer I can be with him, the better.
Yeah.
Maybe get another ring.
When's your, so you've, do you have another year before your
contract? I got another, I got, yeah, this is my fourth year coming up. So, big year, man.
Big year.
Yeah, chasing, trying to solidify this starting role that I owned and, you know, keep the job.
What's the safety market like? Is it, what is the safety market like? Like, is it?
It's the big money.
Is it?
It's big money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because it's only getting bigger because it's turning into a passing league. Right, safety money is huge. So you
That's why Amali's about to get paid.
Oh, he's going to get paid, man.
Who is?
Which Amali. He deserves.
Oh, Amali. Amali.
I did a video on that Amali's going to be one of the highest paid DBs in the league. And boy, did that turn into a controversial take for me on both sides.
People, they weren't happy about it.
A lot of people were calling, were saying just because he went to Penn State doesn't mean he's the greatest player.
No, I mean, he always finds a way around the ball, though.
Dude,
no, if you can find the ball, you're going to be in the league. Yeah. If you're a DB and you get the ball or any position on defense, like you're going to stick. It doesn't matter. Somebody's always going to want you because of your production. And that's another thing that's like.
You made some great plays with the ball this year, too.
I appreciate it. I'm going to get back to that. That's another thing about it's a feel like the vision on ball carrying, like getting the ball back is not something that just happens. You either have that or you don't.
Right, right.
Like there's some great DBs in the league that are going to be great pass breakup DBs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's DBs in the league that are going to jump balls. Uh-huh. They're going to watch the quarterback and just find every single time.
Yeah.
Punch the ball out. They just got it like that.
Absolutely.
So, but what was your favorite play of the year of all the plays you made? Because I'm thinking right now, you had that pick in the end zone, right?
Honestly, yeah, I did have a pick. I had two picks during the season, one in. Everybody thinks my favorite play is picking off Tom Brady. It actually wasn't.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was the pass breakup that same game, the one where I laid out and broke that up in front of, what's his name, Gronk? That was my favorite play.
You knew his name.
No, I didn't.
You knew his name.
I forgot. I don't know his name. Hey, them guys, they just guys. I'm 3-0 against them. But, that was my favorite play, man, because big playoff football, you know, it's like 2nd and 10. We're like up 7. You know what I'm saying? Two of the greatest in the world, greatest tight end in the world right now.
I'm not.
It's so no hard feelings.
Greatest quarterback in the world and just being somebody that they couldn't like get a connection on. Like when they were trying to go, even when he didn't let go of the ball, like when I was on Gronk, like I was strapping him and I was just playing like unconscious that game. So that play that kind of like solidified and shot my confidence through the roof and really took me through the rest of the playoffs.
It's crazy, like in football, you see, even like watching you play, like once you start getting a little bit of momentum, it's like easy just to keep it going. Like, and once you lose momentum, it's like really hard to get it back.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is like trust, I feel like. You know, sometimes like there's a lot of great players in the NFL that won't really ever do anything just because they're not put in a position to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you always have, coaches will always have their guys or their draft picks or whatever. And I guess I'm just blessed that it got to a point where they had no choice but to put me on the field. And then that's kind of.
You earned their trust.
Yeah, and then you got to be, what you do with that is what you do with it. So it just, you know, I'm blessed it worked out in my favor.
What's married life like for both of you?
Ah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Two married
men. I'll let you start.
Married life's great, honestly. Like,
what's it been, like 3 months?
A little bit over 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I mean, I always tell everybody, like, I've been married since, like, 2015 anyways.
Bro.
Yeah.
People forget that I was right there at the beginning of the alley.
Yeah, you were living in the room next door.
You remember when I lived with you, bro?
Yeah, you were upstairs.
I hated it.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, you lived?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It was after you moved out.
That was a weird year, man.
Yeah, it was after you moved out.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I was
there's a lot of stories about that whole thing. Like, even when we lived together, it was when you couldn't catch a cold.
So I knew this was.
Well, dude, it's a good story.
Like at some point, like
it's a great story about
19 years old.
It's a great story about perseverance. Why I like telling it, because look at you now. We just skip past the whole married thing. We're going right back to football.
Yeah,
right.
Marriage is great.
Howie, I'll try giving you a shout out. I don't know.
We'll go back to the beginning of your marriage.
No, I mean, it was my sophomore year. I had just, like, won, like, the starting job and actually, like, played well in training camp.
Oh, you're a kid.
Yeah, I played well in training camp, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, this is, happening. This is how I thought it was going to happen. Like, I'm going to sit behind Jesse my first year, and then I'm going to go in my second year and play well and whatever. And got in, and we were playing in a rain game against Buffalo, and I ran, a wheel down the sideline, mm-hmm. hacked through a good ball, tried to catch it, went right through my hands. I was wearing gloves.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. Like, all right, whatever. Like, no big deal. Then we get down on the goal line, and I run a flat route. About to score a touchdown, Hack throws it, drop. Two in one game, in a rain game. And, before that, I couldn't even tell you last time that, I was dropping
the ball. You never dropped the ball. Yeah.
So then, it starts, creeping in your mind, all right, you better make the next one.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, we play another game against, I think it was, Indiana. I run, a stick nod, get open, drop the ball. I'm like, yo, what is going on? Like, what is happening? And then the final one that, just ended it, was we were playing at Ohio State, and I'm sitting at a night game at the
shoe. That's the one I remember.
That's what I remember. It was bad from a fan input standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it got
so
crazy.
I still remember the exact play. It was two guys were running the post, and I was running a sail, coming from the inside. They were clearing it all out. It was wild.
Great call by JD.
JD, Coach Donovan dialed it up. And I'm sitting there, wide open, only guy on the field. Hack throws a good ball. I try to catch it with my body because at that point, I've dropped four balls now in the season with my hands. I'm like, all right, whatever, I'm by myself. I might as well just, whatever. Bounces right in between the 2-8s.
It's a good thing about what I was talking about, when you lose you lose momentum,
exactly.
You lose confidence.
It's all mental, man. It's a mental game.
And at that point, then it was just I'm not mentally in this anymore. I was at that point, it was don't drop the ball.
I remember that was a bad time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, we used to read tweets after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
No, the tweets were brutal.
Yeah.
It's
funny all the tweets. Fans a year later that they loved you.
Yeah, so
we would read the tweets
and
then come across funny ones and show them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, Jason, look at this one.
Right.
It was bad, man, but it was funny.
So then that happens. And by the end of the year, I ended up hurt my shoulder. We came back for the bowl game. But they were at that point, it was we don't need Mike. It doesn't matter. I played three snaps in the bowl game. And, I was sitting there. I remember on the flight home and I was I might really have to lock in on school here right now.
I suck at football.
I don't know if this football thing's gonna work out anymore.
Then I just literally became obsessed with the jugs. Ball drills, hand-eye coordination, everything. And I've been doing that since 2015, 16,
But it was never an issue with hand-eye coordination.
No, it was just getting my confidence back. And then I always tell everybody, Joe Moorhead and Ricky Ronnie, those are my guys, for life. Because,
change your life.
Yeah, when Moorhead came in, at that point, Moorhead came in and he wasn't oh man, you're the best. He was just all right, I'm going to give you a chance to go earn it. And if you do, then you'll go make plays and do your thing. But Coach Ronnie, sat me down. He's like, listen, you're going to be one of the best tight ends in the country. You just got to go get it. And I'm like, it's did you watch the film last year? Are you sure of you?
I don't even know if you know this. When I left Penn State and because I thought it was dumb play football.
Yeah.
But that time when I left in 2016, I think it was, Coach Ronnie took me to breakfast one day. And was Mike, there's anyone on the team, right now, tell me, how I coach him, how do I,
Right.
So Ronnie was, invested in, making sure he became
good. Oh, no, he was awesome. He took me out,
we talked, an hour just about you.
Yeah, he was the best.
He's how did he handle last year, all this stuff. Ronnie's the real deal.
The best.
That's dope.
And then 2016, Trace won the job, and first game of the season, he found me on a touchdown. At that point, I was I might have something here rolling. And then it just kept going. I made a one-handed catch against Temple. And
how quickly the fans forget that they hated you the year before.
Oh, that at that point in my life was when I learned about all of this stuff, not to become at that point, bro, I was in 2015. I was searching my name on Twitter every day. I was on my phone oh my God, this, look at this. Look,
you don't do that anymore?
No, bro. If I did that now, it would be ridiculous. Cause now you see people that are think I'm this or that in a positive way. And it's just my favorite quote of all time is don't pay attention to praise or criticism. Cause it's a weakness. You get caught up in either one. Cause if you're
getting criticized and you're taking it negatively, or if you're playing the best football of your life and you're getting praised, like, what is that doing? Like, you still got to go out and make plays.
Yeah.
But Hallie always gets mad at me because, like, I'll have, like, a great game and, like, we'll be driving home from the stadium. She'll be like, oh, my God, like, that was – you played great. How about this catch, that catch, scored a touchdown? And I'll be like, nope, like, I'm not even talking. Like, we're moving on. Like, literally, because, like, it's over with. Like, I have to go do it again and again and again and again because – If I don't play well next week, like, guess what?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be like, well, he had a great game last week. Like, yeah. That's not how it works.
Yeah. So, like, really, it's a good thing that whole season happened.
That whole season was, like, the biggest, like, blessing. Like, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for that because, like, now I stay after practice. I'm on the jugs every day after practice doing what I do. Like, I wouldn't have had the work ethic that I have right now.
Yeah. Sick. That's dope.
When I realized like you were actually like big time now was when we were in Vegas for your bachelor party and I was like people were like just in public that like aren't Penn State fans like knew who he was or, like stopping him. I was like, oh, Mike's actually like an A-list NFL player now. But you know, offensive players I feel like are different too because you got fantasy. So yeah, like, everyone knows who fantasy players are.
Yeah, I love when people are like, bro, I have you on your fantasy team. And I'm like, why? Like,
yeah.
Literally, go draft Gronk. Go get Darren Waller.
I learned that mistake this year. I kept starting. Yeah, you were 0 points a few games.
Some weeks I'll light it up for you.
Yeah.
I don't call the plays, so I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. No, yeah.
Bro, when you were running back at Penn State, did you ever think you'd be a safety for the Super Bowl champion?
Oh, man. Isn't that
crazy?
Remember
when you were running back?
Yeah.
I had dreads too, man. I was doing some soul searching, man.
I didn't know who I was, man.
But yeah, it was crazy, man.
I think I could have been a pretty good running back, though. I mean, you're athletic, you have the size.
It just didn't work out. It wasn't my cards. But
man,
I think moving to safety was the best thing that ever happened to me because, you know, honestly, like, let's be real. I was like I came into Penn State like 185 pounds. I was like a scat back. I was 5'11", but like skinny and tall in the Big Ten trying to play running back, which I could have did it. They had some stuff like, you know, I had like a halfback pass and all that stuff, but I ran like a power back, but I was 185 pounds soaking wet. So I'm like, really, like when you move me to defense, it all worked out because it's like I'm aggressive by nature anyway. When it comes to football, I was playing nothing but special teams. So.
Whose idea was that to move to safety, Frank?
Mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they would always like joke with me and be like, oh, like you would be a hell of a corner, hell of a safety. So like they kind of planted the idea, but it actually took me right after the Tax Slayer Bowl. I called Franklin and was like, hey, like I want to move. Cause I knew what the deal was with Saquon. He was obviously the guy. And then we had Miles Sanders and Andre coming in, 2 5-star running backs.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Andre Robinson.
Yeah. I was like,
Andre lit it up there for a little bit.
No, he was ball. He was literally a touchdown. Andre, every time you gave him the ball, he was.
Andre had a nice little stretch there.
Yeah, bro. He's talented, but yeah, it was best decision for me. I was just playing special teams and tackling anyway. I might as well have been doing it all day in practice and everything. So.
You guys still talk to Franklin?
I still talk to Franklin. I'm real close with his family and the girls.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I was just there for Thon, hanging out with them, staying at their crib. It was nice. So, yeah.
You talk to him a lot?
Yeah, I talk to Frank. I mean, he'll still, like, reach out here and there. Like, I remember when I got tagged, he texted me. It's funny how, like he's so, like, locked in on college football that, like, he was like, so the tag, like, what does that mean? Like, is that a good thing? And I'm like you'd have
to. Really?
Yeah. Like, so like the guy's in the business, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I mean, I talk to him, absolutely.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's the best.
No,
he's
like
helped me a lot too, even after. Like,
yeah.
And I really didn't play for him at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's helped me. Like, even when I was coaching, he was like helping me. Like when I was trying to get hired places, he was calling people for me. And stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, I'm obviously biased, and I think we all are, but like, I would go to Penn State over anywhere in the world.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there, you could be like, hey, like, we got you an oceanfront at UCLA. Like, you're no.
This is different.
I'm going to Penn State to live in these mountains, like in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania.
And I wouldn't change that.
In a college town run by 18 to 22 year old kids. Like, that place is.
Remember your official visit, Michigan game?
Yeah. Me, you, and Hack? Yeah. It was incredible.
That was a fun time.
Yeah.
What was your visit? Was yours with?
My official visit was that O'Brien? You had that official?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my official was a little bit after that Michigan game, but I was committed since like my junior year, so
committed for a while.
Yeah. But y'all don't want to know about my official visit.
Turn the cameras off.
Yeah, that one was rough.
It was bad.
It was really bad. Yeah. You want to know the story? Call up Hammy, asking what happened. But all I'll say is we went to a frat. We met Chevy Woods, and
who?
Me and Chevy Woods. Taylor Gang. Me and Hammy were back at Hammy's apartment by like 11. So
I'm so lost.
Rough night.
yours was what do we do on your official visit?
I mean,
we beat Michigan in four overtimes.
You guys had just beaten Michigan in four overtimes. You were not happy because you had no catches.
That game though, I was supposed to have a big game.
I know.
Dude. O'Brien pulled me to the side. I hadn't really like played as a true freshman, and O'Brien pulls me to the side. He's like, we're gonna put in a package for you. Yeah. All these goal line plays.
You're calling everybody from home.
Whole family came, bro. I was like, O'Brien's like, this is like your breakout game as a true freshman. We had a bunch of tight ends. But it was this package play. And then even, bro, I was supposed to win the game. So you don't even know this story. So maybe you do. When it was like third overtime, not the fourth yet, we were kicking the extra point to tie the game.
Yeah.
And O'Brien on the sideline tells everyone we're going for two and calls Wheels, which was the package that
Wheels.
I was in.
Wheels in Detroit.
And we were running play action where I was the fullback in the flat for the 2-point score.
Yeah.
So like we're in the huddle. We're going for two, and the ball's supposed to go to me in the flat.
Yeah. Did they call timeout or something?
Bro, so I'm like, in my head, I start thinking,
Don't drop it.
Bro, you can't drop this fast. And I just start thinking like, dude, if this happens, like I'm a legend of NC forever. And he calls it. We're standing there, and O'Brien's like, he's like, kick it, and then we won the next.
Yeah.
But
that night was sick.
That was probably the solidifying moment. Like I'm like, I have no choice. Like I have to come here.
Yeah.
Like
at that point, I was between. I had just visited Ohio State like 2 weeks earlier, and I remember went on my official visit with like they had me going out with like Braxton Miller, who was like the coolest college football player like ever at that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, This is sick. And then they sent me out with you at Penn State. So it was really two sides of the spectrum. But honestly, I mean, that visit to Penn State was like, I was like, this place is 4 hours from my house. I get to play for Bill O'Brien. I get to play with Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah.
Like, this is unreal. So
back to being married.
Oh, yeah.
Married life, man.
So how, best dancer at the wedding? Who do you give it to?
Best dancer at the wedding.
Yeah. Saquon might have taken home the cake.
Yeah, he was. He
Those
was
videos great went viral of you guys. Someone posted you guys.
I'm gonna give it to for many different reasons to Fitz. Fitz was he danced with
my that friendship you have with him is like
he's
one of the funniest
he's,
things.
He's my guy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, for those who don't know who Fitz is.
He came up to me, he's like, hey, like, I think I'm gonna dance with your grandma. And I was like, what? He's like, I want to slow dance with your grandma. I was like, all right. And I go and tell my grandma. My grandma like thinks that Fitz is like the top of the top, which he is.
He is the top of the top.
I was like, hey, grandma, like Fitz wants to dance with you. Like my grandma hasn't moved that fast in 20 years. Like she popped up right up, ready to dance with Fitz. I mean, it was like a super cool memory for her, for me. But the wedding was cool. It was unbelievable. I mean, the venue was great. The experience was awesome. The whole time I was like, I'm not going to cry. Hallie's walking down the aisle and I'm like, all right, like I'm biting my teeth, like inside, like trying. I didn't cry then. And then I said my vows and I was just like,
over with.
Done.
Started talking, looking at Hallie. It was awesome. Like that experience. And then going to the honeymoon afterwards, it was incredible.
She's been there through it all, man. She's been through the whole.
I always tell everybody, I'm like, listen, like, Hallie. So we talked about the Ohio State thing. Hallie started dating me 2 weeks after the Ohio State game. I was like, that's how I know this.
Baby, she's the one.
Because when everybody in the world was like, Mike and Sicky, why? Hallie's like, oh yeah, like I'm like I love her.
It is so true. It's so true though. Like the moment when you. After you met her, like you were like,
I was. Hallie always jokes that I bought stock when it was super low. That shit shot up. Yeah.
That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
How was your wedding?
It was cool, man. I got married kind of smack dab in the middle of COVID, which worked out great. Because I didn't have to invite anybody, really.
Yeah, save a lot of money.
Yeah, save a lot of money. I had 40 total people at my wedding. It was just close family. Didn't invite any teammates or friends because I felt like if I invited one, the list was just going
to
keep growing. Yeah, so kept it simple, but it was nice. It was real intimate. It was real fun. I didn't cry.
Did you say your own vows?
I said my own vows.
And you didn't cry?
No.
I'm soft as
thug.
I'm sorry.
Hugged it out. The only time I actually almost cried, and Holly looked amazing.
Yeah.
I love her to death. She was beautiful. The only time I actually almost cried was seeing my parents walk down
the
aisle.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? Like, yeah, I don't know why that hit me, but but you know me, like, I'm high energy, like, big smile on my face all the time. So I was just teasing, like, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really, I don't really express that emotion by crying, but yeah, it was a great time. And then marriage has been fun. You know, married my best friend, so
yeah, that's what
we just, you know, enjoy each other's company, have fun, joke around, go places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
I need to get married.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The one thing that I always try to talk about because the fans like hearing about it is like what you're doing investment wise, like with your money, and that's kind of a hot trend right now is like sports and business and investments. A lot of players are like doing some cool stuff. Like, you guys doing anything cool?
I actually just had this conversation yesterday with Jason because he's like, Jason's a damn businessman. He's literally in the car. We're driving to the golf course and he's like on the phone with somebody talking about buying this property and turning it into an Airbnb and this, that, the other thing.
Yeah.
And like right after that, I was like, bro, like I need to like do something like obviously like I'm investing in the stock market and all that kind of stuff. But like outside of that, like I feel like there's so many ways to like have your money make you money.
And you have access to like deals and stuff that you never would have, like, cause you're playing.
Yeah.
Like people want to have you as
part. I mean, that's the best time to do this stuff is kind of while you're cool, you know?
Yeah.
While your name is hot and people want to work with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know for myself, I'm kind of starting to dabble in the investment property world. I just bought a home that right now I'm going to live in just because it's out in California, but I don't plan on ever selling it, even if I have to go play somewhere else or anything like that. Just turn it into a rental property and hopefully.
Did you buy a place yet in Florida? Or are you renting?
I've been renting the same spot.
So you just bought a beach house in there?
So I've essentially just been burning money every year in rent for 4 years now. But me and Hallie and I are building a house in New Jersey right now.
That's big money.
Yeah. It'll be it's supposed to be done in July. So we're in like the process right now, picking all the details and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when I say we, I mean, Hallie's in the process of picking all the details and me.
So what,
like, good job,
what goes into building a house? Like, how much are you actually in touch with the
architect? So the builder is building 12 houses in a development right now.
No, so, I see like, what you're saying. So you buy the plot.
Yeah. So I didn't like design the house specifically. Yeah. Like,
it's a builder. It's a style of home.
It's him. And then like you pick all the details and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's cool. That's how we wanted it. Cause like, we didn't want to like live in a house that like anybody else had lived in before. Like, this is like our spot. So
one thing they say people always forget when they're building a home is storage space.
Yeah.
Remember that.
I mean, we got 5 bedrooms. It's like 4,300 square feet. It's like, and it's just me and Hallie. So like, where's me like with too much space for the two of us.
Is that kind of like your first splurge? Like not splurge, it's not splurge, but like your first big purchase?
Yeah, that's like my only big purchase.
You don't spend a lot of money other than Vegas.
No, yeah, I mean, I was in the car. Yeah, Vegas definitely hit the pockets. But I mean, I was in the car yesterday and like, I think Ko was asking me like, yo, like, what do you do now? Like, do you do this and this? I'm like, bro, like you remember in 2017, senior year of college, like when I was 22 years old, like, now I'm 26. Like, that's the only thing that's changed. Like, I do the exact same stuff. Like, I'm driving the same car. Like, Durham always jokes with me. He's like, bro, like, get a new car.
Literally.
Like, Durham's driving around in a Tesla, and I'm literally in my Toyota Tundra that got, like, hit in a parking lot one day, scratches on it. Like, have no, like, idea who did it. Like, my truck looks terrible, but, like, I just don't care about that kind of stuff. Like,
Durham's so cool.
Oh, Durham is the man. Like, that's my guy. Yeah. Smite, yeah.
He got a new deal too, didn't he?
He did.
They kept both of you guys.
2 for $8, Durham, yeah.
That's dope.
Two for $8?
Yeah.
That's good. That's what he told. I was asking him that.
Yeah.
Vegas, what he wanted. He said 4.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What are you driving?
Right now, Dodge Hellcat 2020. Yeah, that was my Super Bowl gift to myself. I told Holly, I've been like tripping off a Hellcat for like years. Fell in love with Dodge. I had a GT, supercharged it, and got addicted to the power. So, I got obsessed with the Hellcat and basically been trying to figure out a time to buy it. And it was like week 16 or 17 before we got to the playoffs. And I was like, you know what, Holly, like if we win the Super Bowl, I'm just going to get the Hellcat.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, all right, then do it. And I still wasn't going to pull the trigger until she reminded me. She said you would do it. So just pull the trigger. So I was like, forget it. Super Bowl check came in, cash, boom, give me the Hellcat. I need it. So, yeah, it's dope.
What do you think's been, for both of you guys, like one of the toughest times of your NFL career so far? Like just a time, I always like to talk about, we just talked about some adversity stuff a little bit, but like.
It's probably my rookie year. Just because, like, I always say that, like, the NFL is about, like, the situation you're in and the opportunity that, like, you're presented with. Like, that's all it is. So, like, everybody in the league can. I would say for the most part can go out and make plays and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all about the situation you're in and like the system that you're in and the opportunity. Cause like you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. So like you better be ready when that opportunity comes. And in my first year, I didn't make a single play for 16 games. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then for the first four games of my second year, I still hadn't done anything. And I'm like when is it going to switch?
Your second round pick.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And like, I mean, you don't know how long like a team's going to invest in you for. So like, you better start making plays. And then finally in a 2-minute drill, we were playing Washington at home, in 2019. And, I was running like a seam and Fitz just threw like a back shoulder and I just went back and grabbed it. And like, it was like at that point, it was like, then it just started snowball effect. It was just one week turned into 2 good weeks, turned into like my first 100-yard game turned, like it was like, it just kept going. And you just got to just keep making the most of your opportunities when they come.
Yeah, for sure. I think my toughest time was my second year. I was in this weird kind of transition period where I was still that like special teams guru and leader and everything like that. But, you know, I had been working my tail off at just my safety work. Because one thing I always say, like one thing I try to live by, which pays dividends to where I am now is, like owning your role, but never settling for it. Yeah. So, you know, I love special teams. I love being in the NFL for that reason, but I'm always trying to move to the next thing. And, that second year, we had two safeties leave and I was the third safety on the depth chart on paper when those guys left. And then we drafted two safeties and I was immediately moved back down to five. So that was just kind of tough. Felt like an uphill battle. I knew what I was capable of. I believed in my ability and everything like that, but I just wasn't getting an opportunity to show it.
That's all it is. So, it's literally opportunity.
Yeah.
Is the draft interesting? Like, because you don't know if they're going to draft someone at your position. Like, is that ever like weird to like watch or see? Like, do you know going in the draft that they're going to take a safety or if they're going to take a tight end?
Oh, no. Not unless you're like a franchise guy, I guess, that they kind of
communicate with.
Yeah, communicate with, but. I mean, you really can't worry about that stuff. Like, it just comes down to your own process. Like,
yeah, I mean, last year we drafted a tight end in the third round and Hunter Long out of Boston College. Really? Yeah.
He's still there?
Yeah, he's a good player, yeah. And I had, like, no idea, but now, like, Hunter's one of like, my best friends on the team. Like, it's just, just how it goes. And, like, everybody in the locker room understands, like,
you gotta compete every day.
Yeah, nothing's personal in any way, shape, or form. It's all just competition. And going out and making the most of your opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we go golf?
Let's golf, man.
How do we feel about who's gonna win golf?
I'm gonna take the day today.
I'm telling you.
Who won yesterday? Saquon.
Yeah. How
did that happen?
Exactly.
When I saw that in the.
I don't know. I was
apparently he's been getting lessons like three times a week. He's been like, yeah.
You know who really improved? Mark.
Did he actually hit whatever he hit yesterday?
That's a high score. He shot like 120.
No, but I
like that's
like in golf you want the low score.
No, Koa said that like he's been with Mark before where he hit like a 98 or something like that. I'm like
Mark hit a 98.
I watched Mark last year. Oh, I'm not the worst.
Mark
guy here.
Quit the hole, or he quit the course.
Oh, really?
In the middle of the course.
Oh, okay.
Last year. And like where he progressed from last year to this year, like this dude could not hit the ball like straight. Couldn't hit the ball out 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would just slice it or top it or something.
Yeah.
And now he's, like...
making contact.
Got his pitching wedge out, putting stuff on the green, chipping it on it, like, putting, two-putting.
That's funny.
Like, okay then,
Mark. Do you pay us for this?
No. Considering, I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, like, free capitalism, like, market stuff. Like, considering that you make $10 million a year.
11.
And I don't. 11. I make considerably less than that. I do all right. Like, for, like most of my peers, I do pretty well. But, yeah. Like, compared to you two, I'm, you know, not quite
California taxes.
Oh, I wanted to ask you. Yeah, let's just keep going. Screw golf.
You
California lose all of what's your that money. Like?
You lose all your money.
Sometimes you get, I've gotten checks that are less than half.
Stop it.
I have.
That makes me sick.
Close, but less than half.
Florida.
Come to Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, Cali, what's the trade-off? The trade-off is like the whole entire state of California is your backyard. It's like you could do anything and everything you want there. So yeah. If you can afford to live there, why not?
It is such a sick place.
And right now it doesn't really matter because you get taxed in every state that you play in. So
yeah.
Even if I have a permanent spot in Pennsylvania and I play 7-8 home games, I'm still getting that state mm-hmm. income tax.
Yeah.
Where's your place in LA? Like what part?
It's in Simi Valley, just outside Thousand Oaks, which is like 45 minutes north of West Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Is that far from your facility?
My crib?
Yeah.
No, it's like 10 minutes. Oh, no. 10, 15 minutes, so. But they're trying to move to Woodland Hills, which is closer to L.A.
I just remember I didn't finish with the question I ask every time. Kind of corny, but.
Oh, boy.
What's your why?
What is my why? We'll let Mike start on that one.
Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, if I gave you, like, my why right now, I'd be, like, making it up. I have no idea. Like, just go out, like. I guess.
Let me add some context to that question because it's kind of, so I feel like whenever I talk to like people like you guys that are like highly successful, like there's always some kind of like motivation that like is bigger than just yourself or bigger than.
Man, if I had to put anything.
Every single person I've talked to has had a pretty good answer. And then,
I got nothing more to this guy. Yeah. This is, I mean, honestly, maybe just because like, it's what I've always like dreamed of doing. Like from the time I was a little kid, I always said I want to be a professional athlete. And like now I'm here and like have this opportunity in front of me to do it.
Right.
Like obviously you can be like, I want to set up my family for the rest of their life. Like you do, but like.
That's not the motivating.
I don't know. Like my why, like keep fucking balling, making plays and have fun because like, why not?
Like, that's such a Mike answer. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
like that. What else? What are you gonna do when you're done playing football?
I'm gonna coach high school basketball. I'm gonna have the best high school basketball in all.
Bro, I could see you on the stopping on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, my team is gonna be disciplined. All right, we're not gonna be the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, but we're gonna be disciplined.
Gritty guys.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. It pretty much goes against everything that I stand for.
But we're not gonna be physical. Yeah. No charges are gonna take.
Yeah. Just funny. Threes and dunks, but yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
I'll say.
Let me just put this out here, like. Good. Like, yeah, like, I love my family and, like, my wife.
Yeah,
like,
this guy sucks,
like,
man.
Like, they're my why. Like,
no.
Like, yes. I hate how you acted. That was, like, the dumbest question of all time.
Time to go? All right. My why is, you know, I'm faith-based, so, you know, I feel like God gave me these talents, and so it's my job to put them on display and kind of honor him and not let it go to waste. And then... otherwise just myself, like I want to be proud of myself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So
I'm such a same
thing
guy.
Same thing as Mike. I love my family. I love my wife.
I feel like that goes without saying.
Well,
that,
but
like,
my thing, the reason why I don't say they're my wives because they would love me regardless of what I do on the field.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't have to do anything for them.
Hallie would love me more if I didn't play football.
I feel like Hallie's the same way.
She would love that way more.
Yeah. I love it. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate you, brother. This is fun. Make me look good.